Yeah, I hate us, Coney, with that Illuminati mess. Paparazzi, catch my fly. Sorry, guys. Sorry. So, yeah, I have to put myself in the mood because these days I've been just the same one after the other. And I don't know how to put myself in a, like, cheerful mood anymore. This is hard. I mean, it isn't as hard as most people. I know a lot of people are taking it really, really bad, and I thought I was doing really great until now, but this past few weeks has been very low on energy for me. I have stopped working out, and I'm trying to figure out what it is. Doesn't help also that I could not get my hands on my ADD slash ADHD meds, because I really do need that to concentrate and to do things. It is not as severe since I'm not really doing any work, so, but it is very, just to have like a little smidgen of concentration would be very nice right now. So yeah, anyways, let's get into why we're here. And this is going to be the series of menstrual cycle in magic, and this is part one. And in this part one, I'm not really gonna go into the magic of it all. I'm gonna talk a little bit about the culture and the biology behind it. But next episode, I'm gonna have a very special guest with me, another fellow witch that I really admire. And so yeah, we'll be delving in deeper into the magical aspect of menstruation. So yeah, keep following and keep listening if this interests you. If you're a woman and if you're femme also, I would like to do also an episode about femininity when you were not biologically born female, you know, because, you know, we, this kind of conversations might tend to exclude femme women. And that's not really what I want to do. I want to see where we actually connect, you know, in this subject as well. So I still have to do my research on it, and I still need to speak to people about this, to trans women about this. So I, yeah, maybe that will be an episode that will come much later, as soon as, like, I have all my informations together. So yeah. I want to start with saying, with the culture, isn't it weird that up until a couple of years ago, tampons and pad commercials still showed like the blue liquid, or like a very beautiful woman with white pants, pretty much insinuating that, you know, when you get your period, buy this type of tampons or this type of pads so that you can pretend like you don't have your period on that day, so that people cannot see or tell that you have your period on that day, because you have white pants and you're beautiful and everything's going great and you're walking around in the streets dancing. And how ridiculous that is. But then how did that shape our culture and how we see periods and how we grew up, you know? The first thing usually we're taught when we have a period is that we should be discreet. So the first, like, lesson you get from your mom is like, oh, this is how you, like, you know, keep it, hide it, you know, stop the odors, you know, and also just, like, be discreet when you go and, like, I don't know, me as a girl, just the fact that I had my period, I had to go to, for example, we had swimming, practice, and that was when I first got my period, around like 12, and I used to go to the PE teacher and like whisper in her ear, like, I have my period, so today I cannot come to, you know. And so that, this is what this is how I got educated about my period. And if you are from a very religious or a very conservative family, that is all you got. That's all we got. And I know that for most of us, that's all we got. And I'm so, like, happy also for the other people, the other women that did not get that, that got way more information than we did, and they're the ones that wrote books about it, they're the ones who talk freely about it, and because of their liberation and the way they were raised, they used their privilege to liberate others, meaning us. They liberated us because, you know, they learned about their period way sooner than we did, and then they talked to us about it, and in most, now there's like this liberation in culture about period talk. But like, yeah, if you grew up like me, conservative, and parents will not even talk about whatever is going on with your body, because what is a body? You don't have a body. Shut up. So yeah, so you go about, you know, your days very disconnected from the very primal parts of yourself, and you're expected to be constant and a machine when our cycle are ever changing. Change is a part of life. Like, cycles are all around us. You have water cycles, seasons. From life to death is a cycle. From warm to cold and warm again, that's a cycle. Like, animals go through their cycles as nature intended. They shed, they mature, they reproduce, and when time comes, they go about, you know, they go about their days, you know. But humans, we are very good at trying to adapt nature to us and not adapt ourselves to nature. This, of course, like, I won't lie, it has made for great progress in society, in technology, in science, and that's pretty great, you know. But I always like tell myself, with everything we're gaining, we're definitely also losing some parts of ourselves, and you can just see that. For me, I mean, I did a project about this, and I talked about how we are evolving, you know, as we can see, but then we're also digressing in other aspects of our, you know, humanity. And I think that at some point of our evolution, we were maybe a bit more intuitive, a bit more, not everything was so physical, and everything was way more in the mind and spiritual. But yeah, that's another subject that maybe we'll do a podcast on. But yeah, oops, oh, there's a reminder that tells me to record my podcast. That is what I'm doing. So I can go on listing what we as humans have lost in the name of progress, but today I will focus on what we as women have lost when we ignore our bodies, and more specifically our menstrual cycles. So before we delve into the spirituality of menstruation, which is a big, large subject, let's brush up on the biology. And you should always be versed in methodical sciences. I myself consider magic as a science, as most practitioners do. But then scientists usually don't consider like magical practitioners as scientists, even though at some point in time this was one and the same. It's just that human beings grew to favor methodical science, because with methodical science you had cause and effect. You had the scientific method was invented at the point where you would, you know, have a theory, test it, and then it will bring about the same results each time. But then when that was being studied, you also had, you know, occult sciences being studied at the same time, and they were usually going hand in hand. But as we evolved, as we became a consumer, consumer society, oh my god, I'm losing my fucking my words. Oh my god, this is the word. So yeah, as we start to consume more, we start to be result driven. Like, you need the results fast and now, and they need to be the same results over and over again. We want machines, and we want. I started reading Brave New World again. Actually, noticing how problematic that book is, but I started reading it again, and like, Aldous was very, very accurate into what we were becoming. You know, the fact that we just want the same things, everything needs to have like a status quo, and everything needs to be tested and retested. But I'm not saying that scientific method is bad. It is definitely, you have to know science, and you have to know, because for me they're one and the same. They're not separated. So where was I going with this? So each of these sciences learned from one another at some point until people became obsessed with result-based sciences. So as I said, so I wrote some. So yeah, methodical science is you mix this mixture and that mixture and you stop the fever from happening every time. You know, it was really, you could see the tangible and visible results. Therefore, it is normal that science that we know today took over, because, you know, we are more likely to believe what we see. This is also one of the sad reasons why psychology today is still not taken seriously, because you can see a broken arm, but you cannot see a broken mind. And so, you know, I think as a practitioner, you need to still think of science and occult sciences as one and the same. You cannot dismiss one or the other. You know, you cannot dismiss vaccines because there is still a science, and you cannot dismiss, you know, herbal medicine because it is still a science. You know, it's just that it works differently because it hasn't been like condensed into this one little pill that would work every time. It is more, when we use herbs or whatever, you have to use it with the intent and with the conditions that it was made for. So it is still a science, but you know, you have to be more in tune with your inner self, with your higher self, with the world and with nature in order for it to work. Whereas methodical science, you know, making of like medicine in hospitals or vaccines, they have to be very, very accurate to the point of you can just administer it to someone and they will be healed no matter what they believe and how they feel, you know. But then sometimes doctors will also admit that, you know, the healing of a patient, it will depend of course on us, but then it would depend also greatly on the patient itself and on their like strength of mind. So yeah, those are studies that have been conducted, and you know, medicine, like those two sciences cannot exist without the other. Sorry, there's like, I'm gonna pause until the police decides to do their stupid shit. So yeah, sorry about that. The police here in Belgium is very annoying, and usually they just walk around putting the alarm to go through traffic. So yeah, but I'm sure in other countries they're like that too, when you put idiots in uniforms, you know. Anyways, I'm not here to bash the law enforcement. I digress. I want to speak about the biology of menstruation because it is critical to know how things work before working with them, don't you think? So let's go. The changes in your body that go, I know I feel like a teacher right now, but you do need to know this. And, you know, every time I read about like periods or menstruation, I learn something new. So maybe you will also learn something new. But if you know everything about period, yeah, you can maybe skip this part. So the changes in your body goes through like within a month goes as followed. Your body weights fluctuate, you get a shift in level of vitamins, hormones, and minerals. Your vaginal temperature changes along with the difference in secretion, odor, and things like that. You also like retain a lot of water, so that's usually why your body weight fluctuates. Your breast size changes, and then the texture and the feel of it, you know, you get pain as well. Your threshold of pain also changes. So in other words, so many things are happening in your body, but you are expected in this society to stay the same, to be a machine. And those are not voluntary things that you can just stop. You know, you cannot stop your hormones to drop, or you know, those are involuntary functions in your body. You have voluntary functions, you know, usually what deals with what you do with your hands and what you can do with your feet and your mouth and everything. And you have the involuntary ones, which is like your heart beating, and you cannot control if your heart beats or stops, or you know, it's its own muscle and it has its own function, and you cannot control it with your heart. You can control your breathing, but not your heart, you know? And you can control your breathing, but then your breathing also happens independently. you can just forget about reading. But then some people, I know people who have to actively think about reading, and that is actually kind of creepy. So yeah, it's very creepy. So for the biology, our cycle starts on the first day. It always starts, when the bleeding starts, that's when the first day is. That's when your womb's lining disintegrate. So think of it as that. Since ovulation, your womb has been preparing a little bed for the embryo that will be fertilized. So, you know, it's like, it's making the room. You know how new parents are waiting for the baby, so they prep the nursery and they have a bed and everything. And so that's pretty much your womb is preparing a little bed made out of protein, and so it's waiting for the embryo that is fertilized to come here and start growing. And so your womb waits and waits, and lo and behold, nothing happens, and the womb gets frustrated and just trashes the nursery, ripping the beds to shreds and therefore causing the blood to flow out. And my example is really violent because that's how I feel every time I get my period. It's like someone punches me in the gut, and I'm pretty much in the fetus position a lot during the first 2 days. So it really, really hurts, and I'm thinking my uterus is just punishing me for not being pregnant. So yeah, that's how I feel. But maybe you might not feel it that way. For you, maybe the first days would be like meh, you know. But for me and for a lot of other women, having your period is a big punch in the gut. So yeah, so the period usually starts lasts for 4 to 6 days, though you know, some people have said that it's like 3 days for them. And I remember those days when my period was 3 days, and at that time I thought it was like because of my mind was so strong that I was like, I'm only gonna have it for 3 days, and then it just, you know, happened. But then I had a few hormonal problems lately, like 2 years ago, and then my period started to last 7 days, like the proper 7 days. I was really pissed about that. And then apparently you can have longer as well, but normally 8 days should be like the maximum before you consider going to see a doctor. So yeah, so if your flow is heavy, you will collect at least, like, you if your flow is heavy, you collect more than 30 millimeters of blood in your menstrual cup. And that's a great thing with menstrual cups. First of all, they're very eco-friendly, but also that's the only way you ever get to see your blood and how much, you know, blood you actually have during your period. And that's really fascinating to me. Another thing that I realized with menstrual cups is like, you don't smell anything. Like, as soon as you take it out, you don't smell like the dried blood that you usually get from either pads or tampons. When you have a menstrual blood, it really, you can take it out and smell, and it smells like blood, like I don't know, maybe like metal. But that's all, like, you smell the iron in your blood, but it doesn't smell like bad. And so yeah, I, you know, menstrual cups are cool. So if you have a light period, if you have a medium period, it's usually between 10 to 25 milliliters of blood that you should be getting. And then if it's light, it's 5 to 10, and if it's very light, it's less than 5. Very light is less than 5. So lucky you for the people who have less than 5. But yeah. And when you're on the pill, just so you know, you're not menstruating. So the blood is just artificially induced by hormones, you know, because you go into this really weird pseudo pregnancy phase type thing. And so, like, the blood that you get is usually not menstrual blood. My God, my mouth. After that, we have the pre-ovulation, and this is when the estrogen is increasing its productivity and to develop, like, the egg follicles, stimulate the breast and uterine walls. So it's preparing, you know, to get the egg and stuff. So around the 12th to 16th day, you have to check it by yourself. Like, there are tests for pregnancies, but there are also tests for ovulation, so you can know when you ovulate and things like that. So, you know, just try to do research on your stuff. Right now we have time. We have time. So go ahead. So around the 12 to 16 days come ovulation, when one egg is released from the fallopian tubes each month, and there is an egg that that is released either from the right or the left. So each month it just alternates, okay? Around ovulation, you feel pretty wet down there, usually, and you feel really sexy and really horny. That happens to me a lot. So the discharge should be like egg white and sticky, not like cottage cheese type thing. That means you have an infection. So yeah, it should be like, you know, like you should, you know, take your fingers, put it in your vagina, and just like, if you open your fingers, you should have like a string of grossness. It's not gross, it's just, yeah, egg whites. That means you're ovulating usually at that moment. You're so wet during that time that you think that you're on your period or something. So like, that happens to me a lot. And if you are into that stuff, I'm not yet, but if you are into that stuff, if you want to get pregnant, that is the time to get busy, you know. That is around the time. At this time, your egg starts to produce progesterone, estrogen, and you actually feel not only sexy, but you look pretty. I don't know if you have those days where you just go into the mirror and you're like, fuck, I'm hot. Like, or your face seem a bit more symmetrical, your hair seems fuller, your breasts are like perky, and you're like, whoa. And I love how nature works, because nature is doing that to make sure that our mate like finds us attractive. And that's just like, oh god, and that's how I realized that we are animals with huge brains. Like, we are just animals, but yeah, you know, we somehow bent nature to do our will and not vice versa. So that's actually pretty cool. So after all that fun is over, 6 to 10 days, we'll say, before your period, of fertilization. So after the fun is over, so 6 to 10 days before your period, fertilization. That is the thing when you speak more than one language. So I speak 5 languages, so everything is just messed up in my head. Fertilization did not occur. And well, the egg stops producing all the hormones, and all of a sudden, like, your hormones drop, and that hormone drop is called PMS. Yes, premenstrual syndrome. Often we are being mocked as women, you know, and this is used to usually put women down, to discredit our feelings and things like that. But PMS is very scientific and very real. This is the time where your mood changes, your libido changes, your ability to have a good night's sleep changes, and that's the time what most people, especially men, associate with, oh, she's being crazy, or da 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 da, or she must have her period, nah, nah, nah. When it's actually a very real scientific thing that is actually happening in our body, you know, there's like seriously a hormone, you know, imbalance that happens, but you know, we're just being crazy, right? Like this, oh god. But yeah, as women, we're also taught to think that way, meaning that when we had a period, we had to be like we had to act like everything was okay and be strong, otherwise people are gonna be like, are you on your period, you know? So that shaped not only men, but it also shaped us, the way we think. And a lot of women feel so proud to not be emotional and not, you know, I'm like the man, or I'm the kind of woman that men want because I'm not overly emotional and I'm this and that. Da, 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 da. Yeah, bitch, like, shut up, bye. That's all I want to say about that. So some women, like, for PMS, not every woman experiences it the same. Seriously. Sometimes, and also most women experience it differently depending on other factors in their life. So you could be like, it could be the seasons, it could just be like some, you already fucking depressed, so the PMS is gonna hit you even harder. You take some medications that maybe put your hormones at an imbalance. You have hormone imbalance to begin with, and then PMS gets stopped up on top of that. So everyone is going to be affected by PMS differently, because we are all different. But, you know, at least know that it happens, you know, and you're not weird for it, and you're not overly emotional for it. You're human, and you're a human woman, and that's okay. Ugh, all the fucking noise. Jesus. Do you have to have a fucking motorcycle in the city? Do you have to? I'm horrible. Okay, so now that you have the biology of it all, I urge you to do your research, and I'm sure you're wondering about all the magical stuff. But before we dive in deep into the stuff, let's talk about correspondence and sympathetic magic. These are the above as below laws that most practitioners follow. Sympathetic magic is a term coined by anthropologist James George Frazer in The Golden Bough, and I would recommend that you read that book. Correspondence is based on the idea that one can influence something based on its relationship or resemblance to another. This is how we know and believe that plants cure and do other things and things like that. So we look at a plant, we associate it with something either physical or spiritual, and we know that it cures that type of thing of ailment. So the same thing with correspondence, for example, with menstrual cycle is usually correspondent. Before, women used to think it had a correspondence to the moon, you know, the cycles of the moon. And then we realized that the moon does influence a lot of physical things here on Earth. So those have been proven and studied. And so, you know, where does science meet occult science in that point? This is how we're going to delve into the magical aspect of it in the next episode. So you do need to learn a little bit more about, you know, correspondence and sympathetic magic, definitely. Sorry, my notes are so long. I write whole books. So yeah, now I'm going to share with you guys, and that I did not write, but because, you know, it has to be authentic. I'm going to share with you guys the story of my first period and how it happened. My story is a bit traumatic, but, you know, I'm sure other people also had traumatic experiences, but then some others had really great experiences with really great parents and things like that. But I'm going to share my story because maybe it might resonate with some of you. And just to let you know that it does get better. So I was 12 when I first got my period. And I was living in a very toxic environment with aunts that did not really have my best interest at heart. And you know, maybe might have used the power of being older than me a bit too much, meaning abuse. So I was very scared of them, of my aunts, and when I first got my period, I decided to hide it because I was like, ugh, I don't want to deal with this. They were the kind of women, and that happens a lot in African households, like sex is a taboo because, you know, all religions and stuff like that. So sex is taboo and everything else that is associated with it is taboo. At 9, I started having my boobs, and as soon as I got my boobs, they would say things like, oh, you have your boobs because you let boys touch them or whatever, which, you know, was definitely not true. But yeah, you know, I had boobs early, and I started like slouching because my boobs were too big, and I thought it was my fault and all that kind of stuff. So as soon as I got my period, I also thought that was my fault, that I did something, I don't know, that I looked at a guy the wrong way, and then I got my period. So I hid it. But of course, since I did not have the proper means to like hide it, they found out eventually, and I got beaten for it. And they were like, oh, you're hiding your period, what are you hiding, are you having sex and things like that. And you know, and that is pretty much the whole education I had about my period. Like, yeah, are you having sex? We're gonna beat you up because you're having sex because you get your period. And so for me in my head at 12, I'm saying like, okay, so meaning maybe I had sex in my dream, and so that like made my period come. And so it's very I'm laughing about it now, but for a long time that haunted me. For a long time that stunted my growth, my sexual growth, my spiritual growth, and a lot of the things that I went to do afterwards was because of that first initial like meeting with my womanhood, you know. So yeah, but then how does it get better? It's like afterwards, you know, I had the whole dick click. I, you know, living on my own and started to learn and read and I educated myself about my period. So, and you know, that experience is part of me, but it doesn't like rule me anymore. And yeah, I just wanted to share my first period experience with you guys, because yeah, it was very cringeworthy. So yeah, you guys can definitely email me or send me a DM at Get Off My Broom on Instagram about your first period stories. And I would like to do that every week, where I share another period story on like every week, every episode of the series, because I am working on another series also, which is Hoodoo. And then I will be working on a Voodoo series, and I'll be working on so many other series. So this is part one of the menstruation series, and I hope you enjoyed it. So before we go, I'm going to leave you guys with a, because I did ask everyone to kind of send me superstitions that, you know, people had in your country about menstruation, because I know they're hilarious. I've heard a few myself. So this one is from Israel, and it says, in Israel you get slapped in the face when you first get your period, so you can have a red beautiful cheeks. You can have red beautiful cheeks all your life. So that just very funny to me. So if you're from Israel, let me know if that is also correct for you. And if you're from another country, let me know if you've heard this one as well. So you get slapped on your, you get slapped on the first day of your period, as if your period wasn't hard enough, just so you can have red beautiful rosy cheeks. And so that was actually kind of cute. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I'm so happy to go back into it. The days have been so long, and yeah, but it gives me time to get back into my spirituality, and it gives me time to record and hopefully, you know, touch way more people than I am now. You can definitely share and comment and let me know what you thought of it in my DMs, okay? And I'll try to answer. Yay, thank you, bye.